more publishing the gospel, so much the more beseeching the Savior, so much the more attending the house of God, so much the more giving to worldwide missions. And as I was studying, God just changed my direction. Many of you have worked on a roofing crew. Say amen, Mr. Jack. Amen. And many of you have worked with Mr. Jack. Many of you have been up on a roof. You looked at it. And by the way, if you've been up on a roof, I may need you in a couple years. Say amen. At my house, I noticed a shingle the other day on the ground as I was mowing the lawn. I said, well, that's got to be mine. Amen. But you look and you see the issue and you go out and you buy the materials and then you carry the wood and the shingles and the tar and you climb up on the house, which is the hard part for me, amen. You tore off the old roof, you repaired it, and you put the new roof on and you cleaned up. That's a roofing crew, amen. Our text today, the title of the message is God's Roofing Crew. God's roofing crew. I notice about this, if you look at this text in Mark chapter 2, I love verse 1 where it says it was noise that he was in the house. Oh, I tell you, I love that verse. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that we would noise that when we meet together as a body and we sing his praises and we preach his word that he's in the house. Amen. That he's here with us, and where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst, he says. But then in verse 2, straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is so much. And I want to tell you, Jesus is a preacher. He's a preacher. Oh, yes, he's virgin born. He's the Son of God. He's the great I am. He's all that. He preached the word. And of course, we're going to get at these verses, but you go down further and you find that the Pharisees, when Jesus said to this man that was sick of the palsy, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Bible says there they reasoned in their hearts. It didn't say they spake it out loud. They reasoned in their hearts. Who can forgive sins but God only? To that I say, amen. Because God only was standing in a robe of flesh right in front of them. And he had the power to forgive sins. He had the power to heal sicknesses. Just imagine if you had a very sick loved one. Many of you known last year, we discovered that I have a kidney disease called IgA nephropathy, particular degenerative type of kidney disease. It's controllable. It's treatable. People have told me, Pastor, you've lost a lot of weight. Well, I have, and some of that is because that's part of the treatment. Amen. Just push away from the table, and that do us all well. Amen. It's an easy way to lose weight. Just amen. But I have this condition. It's in my body. It's a disease. And we have found out that many times it can be hereditary. Hereditary. My children. Your children. Just imagine. I think it's easy for those of us that have a child to put ourselves in this supposition. Just imagine you had a child that was sick and terminal. Sick and terminal. There was, the doctors had done all they could. They looked you in the eye with tears in their eyes and said, all I can do is send you home. That's a hard spot. That's a hard spot. And they said, we're just going to send you home. You have a sick loved one, and all of a sudden there came word to you that there was somebody coming to your town, coming nearby, that was healing people. I'll tell you the first thing we'd do, we'd say, poppycock. No such thing. This idea, these so quote-unquote preachers slapping people on the forehead, wearing $10,000 suits, bilking old women out of their savings, not of God. False. But just imagine, so the first thing we would all probably do is just dismiss it. The second thing, if you're in the technological age that we're in, that we would do, I'll tell you what I would do. I would Google it. Type in this guy's name, see who he is. Maybe see a video. But then just imagine that the Jackson Citizen Patriot reports that this man was just at Mott's Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor. And now there is no more need for Mott's Children's Hospital because he has emptied it. He'd gone up to the little bald-headed babies with cancer and said, be healed. And they were healed. He went up to that little one who had a heart defect, and he went up and touched them, and they were immediately healed. What wouldn't you do to bring your sick child to such a man? I'll tell you, you'd do anything you could. If you lived in California and you found out he was going to be in Boston, you'd get on a plane. You'd scrape money together. You'd put a lien on your home. You'd do anything you could to get to that person so that your child could be healed. This is what happens in this text. God's roofing crew. Look at verse number 3. It says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. That word born, it's an old English word. It means to carry. We know it in a different form, to bear a burden. Born is another term for bear. He was born of 4. He was carried of 4. I'll tell you, very, very interesting. Just by way of introduction, you notice they didn't let some things discourage them. They didn't notice the fact that there in verse number 3, it says, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. They didn't let the bed discourage him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, he's been in that bed for a while. He's been there. Matter of fact, he's been sick of the palsy for several years now. I mean, that's just his lot in life. Think how many times we say that. You made your bed, now sleep in it. These men didn't have that attitude. They didn't let the bed discourage them. You know what else? If you look at verse number 2, they didn't let the body discourage them. It says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. They took this man, and we'll talk about it, and they carried him. Only the Lord knows how far they had to carry him. But they came, and they got there. And just imagine Loomis Park Baptist Church with people everywhere. We got chairs set up here. We get all the extra pews we have. We move them. Choir's completely filled. We've even got people sitting in the baptistry. Amen. And they came and said, well, there's no room for me. Do you know that happened to a friend of mine? His church was so explosive in growth that somebody came in, saw chairs all set up in the foyer, and turned right around. They didn't let it discourage him. You know, sometimes that's where we stop short. Well, they could have said, hey, look, we brought him this far, and we tried. But there's no room. We just can't get at him. They didn't have that attitude. They didn't let the bed discourage them. They didn't let the body discourage them. They didn't let the barriers discourage them. The difficulties, the man. Listen, folks, have you ever carried a grown man? I don't care. It could be the smallest, thinnest man in this room. God help you if you try to carry me. I'm telling you, you'll break your back. But to carry somebody, particularly someone who's suffering a palsy, a paralytic, it's dead weight. Literally, they're not going to help you carry them. And they didn't let that discourage them. They didn't let the man. They didn't let the bed. They didn't let the journey. I wonder how long it was from that man's house to the place where Jesus was. I think of that, especially in the military. Soldiers. One of their comrades gets hurt, and they each pick up a corner of that stretcher, and they just carry them as far as they have to, as far as they need to. They didn't let the difficulties discourage them. The barrier of difficulty, the barrier of discouragement. How about this one? The barrier of dead ends. didn't discourage him. Well, that's the way he is. He's going to be that way. Well, we tried to come, but they're not here. Well, there's a roof on top of the house, but, well, and, you know, I just want to say this, folks. There are no dead ends with a living God. There's no dead ends with a living God. And so they didn't let these barriers of difficulty and discouragement and dead ends get to them. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. It says, and when they were come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and they could not come nigh unto him for the press. And that just means a lot of people. It doesn't mean God's against newspapers. Amen. It says, and they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. See, this is a unique roofing crew. They only did half the job, Brother Jack. They only did half the job. They broke up the roof. I want to talk to you today. I've got 5 things this morning. What does it take to work on God's roofing crew? What does it take to work on God's roofing crew? Number one, I'll tell you first of all what it takes. It takes compassion. It takes compassion. Jude chapter 1, of course chapter 1, amen. But verse 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Compassion is love in action. It's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing for me to show you that I love you. And if you're going to get on God's roofing crew, if you're going to help God in His work, it's going to start with compassion. Compassion. Compassion, first of all, to the man's condition. I don't know how many of these men were his good friends. The Bible doesn't say. I know this in life, that most of us have few friends. I don't mean that. Now, some people have few friends because they're not friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. But what I'm talking about is that close friend that you have, that you could bear your heart and soul with, and you wouldn't do that with everybody. I don't know how many of these men were completely his friend, but I know this. They, at least one of them, perhaps all 4 of them, were moved at this man's condition. They were moved. He was sick. He was dying. Listen, folks, if we're going to have compassion, we're going to have to be moved at the sinner's condition. People all around us, their condition is they're lost and they're on their way to a devil's hell. No matter how many times they go to church, no matter whether they've been baptized, no matter whether you fill in the blank, they're lost without Jesus. And we need some people to get on God's roofing crew. And it starts with compassion. Compassion towards man's condition. I think of this. Compassion. Compassion. Their love moved them. This man needed their help. And I want to tell you this. Love will always move you to 2 things. True love will move you to 2 things. It will move you to serve and to sacrifice. See, how do you know that? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. At sacrifice. His only begotten Son who was a servant. Servant sacrifice. Compassion. Oh, that this week that God would stir our souls. That the Holy Ghost would get down and stir up that compassion again. To the point where it moves us. Number one, compassion. Number two, if you're going to work on God's roofing crew, it's going to take comprehension. Comprehension, comprehending some things. We mentioned about comprehending man's condition, of course. But you know what else? If you're going to work on God's roofing crew, you're going to have to comprehend God's ability to do anything. Do you know God can save your lost loved one? That person that is so hard-hearted and they shut you down and they tell you, I don't want to hear about this Jesus anymore. If you're going to get on God's roofing crew filled with compassion, you're going to have to comprehend that God wants to and can save that person. God, listen, they had a comprehension. It had gotten back to them about what Jesus had did in Cana of Galilee and how He'd healed the nobleman's servant, and how He'd healed Peter's mother-in-law. It got back to them and they had faith that Jesus could do anything. That's what we need again. Not faith where we bottle up God. I know, God, You can do this, but. I know You, but. Listen, take the cork off. I know You can do anything. If You can heal a paralytic, You can work and save my lost loved one. Comprehension of man's condition, God's ability. You know what else they had a comprehension of? Time's opportunity. Time's opportunity. You see, when you read the Gospels, I read the Gospels, and I love to read the Gospels. I tell you, I remember hearing of a man, a preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, read nothing but the Gospels for 2 years, Brother Susan. 2 years. When I read the Gospels, I'm always reminded how they just had one opportunity. One opportunity. I think especially of the last one. I think of blind Bartimaeus. And he was going to be in that message and so much the more. And maybe one day we'll preach it. But blind Bartimaeus, he was crying out as Jesus was walking by. And they told him, just be quiet, quiet, quiet. Stop it. Don't bother him. And the Bible says he cried so much the more, Son of Man, have mercy on me. Why was that? Because Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem to be crucified, never to be seen on this earth again in His body. Amen. In His temporal body. Amen. She said, I got one opportunity at this. They looked at this man's condition. They looked at God's ability. They looked at time's opportunity and said, we got to get busy. Let's go. Hey, pick up a corner. Hey, you get that. I'll get this. Let's go. Let's go. We got one shot at this. It was noised abroad that he was in the house. Folks, that we would see it. That we would see people, sinners, that we would turn that hourglass over in our hearts and say, I don't have much time left. I'll tell you, if we would see that, it would change us. It would revolutionize us to the point where, you know what, we'd say, yeah, I'm afraid, but the truth is, if they die and go to hell and I don't tell them, I'm going to have blood on my hands. I've got to do something. I got to do it now. They had comprehension of the man's condition. They had comprehension of God's ability. They had comprehension of time's opportunity. They had compassion. Number three. What's it take to work on God's roofing crew? It takes compassion. It takes comprehension. Number three, it takes concern. Concern. The sister passage is in Luke chapter 5, verse number 18 reads as follows. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. They were so concerned. They were so concerned for their friend. They were so concerned for this man's condition that they thought of ingenuitive ways to bring him to Jesus. You saw it in our video. I came on Whole Heart Sunday. I came on Whopper Sunday. I came, you know what that is? That's concern. People say, oh, that's gimmicks and giveaways. And listen, young people get saved because a bus captain gives them bubble gum. Bless God, I'll buy pounds of bubble gum. Amen. They were concerned. They were so concerned that concern moved them into action. Many times I have gotten to a cash register and got ready to pull out a gospel tract, and the devil said, don't do that. Don't do that. They're not going to take it. They're not even going to look at it. They get tons of those things. Just don't do that. And folks, can I just bear my soul with you today? There's times where I did this. I got my receipt and I walked out. But when I'm concerned, I give it out. When I'm concerned. And boy, we ought to be concerned. Concern ought to motivate us. Comprehension. Compassion. Concern. You know what else it takes in Luke chapter 2? Look at verse number 3. Or Mark, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 2, verse 3. My fault. Mark chapter 2, verse 3. You know what else it takes? And I'm moving right along because I know we had a long presentation. I told you I wouldn't preach long this morning. Comprehension, compassion, concern. Number 4, it says this in verse 3. And there come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. The fourth thing it takes is it takes cooperation. It takes cooperation. Do you know, if we're going to run a bus, we can't have 9 bus drivers trying to drive it at the same time. It's just not going to work out very well. There's one seat. Amen. You want to see cooperation? You come to our Vacation Bible School and you'll see cooperation. You'll see this person doing this and this person doing this and this person doing this and this person. Just imagine if the 4 of them, as they were carrying, imagine that one guy, and you always have folks, but imagine this one guy in the front saying, why do I have to be in the front? The sun's on me. I'm getting sunburned. Why can't, listen, how about this? Why do I have to stand next to him? He doesn't like me and I don't like him. How come I always have to carry it this way up the hills? It takes cooperation. You know what servants do? They cooperate. Because they're not interested in fame or fortune or popularity. We're just, these 4, they were interested in getting this man to Jesus. So they cooperated. Some of you tithe so we can run a bus ministry. Some work in the bus ministry. Some pray. We talked about it. Hey, you know what? Folks, we're a body. Body's got an elbow, a wrist. It's got knuckles. It's got fingers. It's got a shoulder, heart, kidney, circulatory system. But it's all one body. And if we're going to get on God's roof and crew, we're just going to have to cooperate. We're going to have to get along, amen, and get people to Jesus, and all God's people said. Lastly, comprehension, compassion, concern, cooperation. You know what else it takes? It takes commitment. Commitment. They were committed to get this man to Jesus. Look at the verses. Verse number 2. And straightway many were gathered together, in so much there was no room to receive them, and not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. How do you know they were committed? Well, we already talked about how they picked him up, they carried him, they took him on this journey, they brought him to the door, and now there's no room to receive him. Okay, we tried our hardest. No. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. It doesn't say this in there. I think you could suppose that 4 guys got together and said, hey, fellas, huddle up, huddle up. I don't know how you say that in Hebrew, but el huddalai or something like that. Amen. Huddle up. Let's huddle up. What are we going to do? One guy said, well, we could just start knocking people over. I could knock people out. I could feign and, you know, faint, and everybody come around and we could slip them in. Oh, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. What else could we do? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it could have some lady out here scream and then everybody come around. I don't know. One guy says, hey, you know what? I'm committed to this. Are you men committed? You committed? You committed? You committed? Let's go on the roof and break it up. Let's go on the roof and break it up. You committed? I'm in. So next thing you know, they start climbing, getting up. And just imagine what it is not only to climb, but you got to climb up with a full-weighted body up on a roof. And look what it says. It says, he's born of 4, and they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Not only did they break up the roof, but they were so committed that they already had some rope with them. And they took it, and each one, again, cooperating. You can't just, one guy let it down, and then just imagine you had a guy saying, why do I have to always hold the rope? You know, no, they all, they're ready. One, two, three, four, five, six. And just imagine, here's Jesus, and he's preaching the word, and he's, you know, you need to repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. The Bible says when he saw their faith, not his faith, not that he didn't have faith. I know he did. But when he saw their faith, and you know what? You know why he saw their faith? Commitment. They were committed. They were committed. What were they committed to? Getting him to Jesus. Hey, listen, I'm committed to my wife. Amen. I'm committed to her. I'm committed to my children. I'm committed to be your pastor. I'm committed. You know what my greatest commitment ought to be? My greatest commission ought to be? Getting people to Jesus. Getting people to Jesus. You know what? As you look at your card, you know what this is? It's a commitment to try to get people to Jesus. That's what it's about. For I believe God had me change this message this week. God's roofing crew. God's roofing crew. It takes comprehension. We got to see man. We got to see man in his lost condition. We got to see man in his sin sickness, so to speak. We've got to comprehend God's ability. That God can do anything. We've got to comprehend that time is fleeting. We just have a short opportunity to reach people. We've got to have compassion. Christianity, serving God, has to come from the heart. It has to come from love. The love of Christ constraineth me. You know, the good thing is God loves you whether you love Him or not. He never stopped loving you. He never will. But we ought to love God, and it ought to move us. Compassion, comprehension. Thirdly, concern. Concern. Cooperation, working together. Everybody just doing their part. And then lastly, commitment. Can I say this? I mentioned it on Wednesday night, but God's always looking for people to work on His roofing crew. There's a shortage of God's roofers. And I got to imagine, Mr. Jack, that after they broke up that roof, I wonder if the owner of the house went, ah! But then he saw what they were doing, and he saw what happened. And you know what he probably said? We'll take care of it later. We'll get it fixed. Do you want to work on God's roofing crew? God wants you to work on His roofing crew. Are you willing? Comprehension, compassion, concern, cooperation, and commitment. Father, we